Our gospel lesson this morning, this sixth Sunday after Epiphany, picks up where we left off last week in the fifth chapter of Matthew's gospel. This is the middle of what's called the Sermon on the Mount. I'll be reading verses 21 through 37. As I read these words, listen for something being spoken into your heart and your life at this point in your faith journey. And again, remember, this is Jesus speaking. You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, you shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you'll be liable to the council. And if you say, you fool, you'll be liable to the hell of fire. So when you're offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on the way to court with him, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out, throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off, throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to go into hell. It was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that anyone who divorces his wife except on the ground of unchastity causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, you shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, what are we going to do with that? That's a lot to talk about. So I'm just going to turn it over to Bob Starks now and have... Okay, I want to back up. I want to back up because I think this all ties in to what we were just talking about with the kids here a minute ago. Last Friday was what we call Valentine's Day, right? Now, I hope you had a good day. Hope you had a good Valentine's Day. St. Valentine was martyred on February 14th of the year 270 A.D., a long time ago. And popular legend has it that St. Valentine was arrested for performing marriages between Christians when such marriages were outlawed. So, at risk of his own life, he extended love. And love cost him his life. Okay, for centuries, therefore, St. Valentine has been the patron saint of love. Okay, well, I thought since Super Bowl trivia went over so well a few weeks ago, I'd share a little bit of Valentine's trivia with you this morning. Now, just kind of think through this. You know, many people think that the celebration of Valentine's Day began back in Roman times with the idea of Cupid. And that may be the origins of it somewhat. But really, it wasn't established till Pope Gelasius in the year 498 declared February 14th to be St. Valentine's Day. There are nearly 250,000 proposals for marriage made on Valentine's Day. So last Friday, how many were engaged, became engaged? Not one person in this church. Come on, all services. Okay. Well, 250,000 of your friends got engaged last Friday to get ready for this. Over 1 billion Valentines were sent last week. We heard about what's going on with the kids? 1 billion Valentines. That number is only eclipsed by one other holiday in the whole year. What is that? You would think. Oh, late in the year. Christmas. Okay. I wasn't even the top 5 movies that couples watch on the evening of Valentine's Day, but I didn't know half of them, so I can't give you 5. I'm giving you 1. Titanic, the number 1 movie to watch.
It's
going down the ship. All right. Valentine's Day is a confectioner's dream, as you know. 8 billion little candy hearts were produced for Valentine's Day, and 36 million heart-shaped boxes of chocolate were sold. Thanks to our friend Richard Cadbury, 1868, invented the heart-shaped box. Okay. Whom would you suspect is spoiled the most on Valentine's Day? Is it best friends? No. Is it spouses? No. Clergy, it's got to be clergy. No, absolutely not. Well, teachers, come on. And then in descending order, children, mothers, spouses, lovers, and last but not least,
pets.
Not clergy.
Pets.
Pets. At least 9 million people give Valentines to their pets. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands because I know you would be embarrassed to admit it in front of everybody else. All right. Okay. On average, men spend $168.74. Yeah, Mike. Yeah. On Valentine's Day. Women spend more or less, do you think?
Less.
Much less. Okay. Let me give you that number, $85.76. Okay, we won't worry about that. Men seem to buy all the flowers. What flowers do they buy? What's the number one brand? Or not brand, but type. Roses! And finally, it's interesting to note that although they are extremely cheap, women buy 85% of all Valentines that are purchased. What is that all about? For their kids, I guess. Anyway, all right. Well, that's enough. I just want you to think about it. We're talking about love. We're talking about love here. That's the bottom line. We all know that at its heart, Valentine's Day is about relationships, right? That's what it's really about, all that stuff. The kids knew that. But it's not just about romantic relationships. No, they were given teachers and clergy. Well, not really clergy, but other people. It's all about relationships. And if we really stop and think about it, we know in our heart of hearts. Oh, come on. Okay. That's what life is all about. It's about relationships. In fact, it's why you're gathered here today. You know? That's what we talk about. We talk about 2 critical relationships. Relationship between the individual and the sacred, between God and you, and also between one another. You remember in Luke's gospel? I'll read it to you. Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said to him, what is written in the law? What do you read there? He answered, and then he quotes the Deuteronomy text that Kara just read a few moments ago. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. And then appends this. And your Leviticus 19:18. Relationships. Jesus said, I give you a new commandment that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if, contingent, if you have love for one another. Relationship. Paul writes, let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Relationships. John writes, those who say, I love God and hate their brother or sisters, those folks are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. Relation. That's what we do. We do relationships. Last week, Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. But he's quick to add, if that salt has lost its saltiness, what's the point? The light is hidden. What's the point? The point is to enhance life, right? So if we're not enhancing life, what is the point? We're not building relationships. What is the point? Relationship with God and with others. That's what we're doing here. Okay. Friends, the Epiphany question. Next week is the final Sunday in Epiphany. It's called Transfiguration Sunday. Epiphany, obviously Jesus, during Christmas, we celebrate Jesus' birth. Epiphany, we celebrate all of a sudden the Magi find the Christ child. They make the discovery. You know, we have found him, we say in Epiphany. So now what do? And then soon after that, Jesus comes along, walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, sees fishermen, come follow me, and we went. Right? We pick up here this week where we left off last week. Still Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Very hard verses that deal with some very difficult topics, right? Topics that though seem to transcend time and culture. First century to 21st century. We can make the leap here, I think. Verses about murder, anger, judgment, adultery, divorce, honesty, integrity. Things we still read about every single day. Tough issues then, tough issues now, right? Jesus says, if you want to exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, the righteousness of the status quo, they're going to have to start living in a way that forges life-sustaining, life-enhancing relationships. We talked about that last week. He said to those on the mountaintop, he said, you have heard it said, you've heard this, but I say to you. And with those words, he moves the discussion away from a litany of rules to be obeyed, as in, don't do this, to a way of living in healthy relationships. So when you're offering your gift at the altar, see, when you come into the sacred space, if you remember that your brother or your sister has something against you, leave your gift there and go first be reconciled with others. And then come back to this place. Very interesting. Okay. The five things you dread hearing from your significant other. Keep in mind, men said this. Okay. Words you had dread hearing. Not necessarily on Valentine's Day, but anytime. Number one, notice anything different? That's number one. Two, don't worry, he's just my ex. What? Three, we need to talk. Four, I've been thinking. Wow. Okay, we'll wait for five. Okay. Back to the discussion. Okay. Theology professor Marcia Riggs suggests that Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount enlarges the frame of our understanding. In other words, it's not about murder, is what he's saying. It's about a way of life that is so dominated by anger that it ultimately could lead to murder. It's about ignoring the health of those substantive relationships in our lives to the point that ultimately they bring us to the very edge of civility. You know, it's not about adultery or divorce. It's about intentional living and how the decisions that we make and the courses we pursue in our lives can lead to the destruction of the most intimate relationships that human beings can possibly have. You know, it's not about whether you swear or take an oath. No, it's about a life of integrity, a life of character that shapes us into people where yes is yes and no is no. You know, it's about enlarging the scope of our lives. It's about living kingdom-driven lives, really. And living such a life was so critical in the eyes of Jesus that he employed graphic hyperbole to make his point. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out. Throw it away. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Throw it away. In other words, whatever gets in the way of your pursuit of healthy and whole relationships with God and with others must be addressed, and it must be addressed now. Right now. She said, repent. Turn around. Go back to where things got a little off course. Change the direction in which you are living your life, because the kingdom of God is here. Friends, that's why we gather here. We're wrestling with what that means. You know, what it means to encounter the life-giving grace of God that was made known to us in the life of Jesus. And then seeking out ways to allow that same grace to flow through our life in our relationships so that we might find a deeper level of life, a deeper meaning for our life. So having said that, 1 week from Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, the beginning of the contemplative season called Lent. Lent is a 40-day season leading up to Easter, during which we slow down and we spend some time, and intentionally spend some time examining in detail who we are. And more importantly, who we want to become. So during the 40 days of Lent, we begin to make those changes, those requisite changes to the pattern of our living, so that we can grow further in life, further in faith. So I'm inviting you to join us on Ash Wednesday. Join us for the journey. And then go with us the next 40 days as we move toward Easter. And you'll hear more details about that, but it could be life-changing. It could be life-giving as relationships are enhanced. All right. Let me just close out with number 5 on things that men dread hearing their partners say. Number 5. I'll leave you with this thought. Do you know what today is? Thanks be to God. Amen.